The National Council on Disability says that Native Americans are more likely than other ethnic groups to suffer physical disability. It's mainly due to high rates of alcoholism and diabetes. But on remote reservations like that of the Navajo, people confined to wheelchairs face challenges not seen in other parts of the country. Arizona Public Radio's Daniel Crocker reports on the struggles of an often invisible group of people on the nation's largest Indian reservation.
Darlene Singer's modest house on the Navajo Nation is 3 miles from the nearest paved road, more than 20 miles from the closest town. This is high desert country. The quiet hangs thick in the cold air, broken only by the occasional bark of a stray dog Singer's nephew has rescued. But inside, a wood stove keeps it snug. Singer sits in her wheelchair at the kitchen table after a lunch of spaghetti and fry bread. 18 years ago, a car accident left her a paraplegic, her sister Doris a quadriplegic, and killed Doris's newborn baby. Singer moved back home. She likes living here with her mom, but admits things could be better.
What I really need out here is a phone line. I applied for it, but the phone company told me I have to pay out of my own pocket.
Singer has a cell phone, but she doesn't get reception at her house. 2 years ago, she was home alone shortly after bladder surgery.
And my incision, it reopened, and I didn't know what was going on. It was just bleeding, draining, so I just laid back down.
Luckily, her uncle dropped by and drove to a relative's house to call an ambulance. Singer's story is frightening, but the hardships she faces are not uncommon on remote reservations. When Dr. Ellen Rothman arrived on the Navajo Nation 4 years ago, fresh out of Harvard Medical School, she was shocked by how the average person lived.
I think when day-to-day life is so hard, disability issues are just under the radar. And, you know, living with no running water, no electricity, no phone, when you're in a wheelchair is just, it's really unbelievable. And it's unbelievable that something like this exists in the United States.
It exists in part because tribal sovereignty exempts the Navajo Nation from the Americans with Disabilities Act. That's not to say the estimated 10% of Navajos with physical disabilities have to fend completely for themselves. The Indian Health Service provides medical care. Arizona and New Mexico arrange for in-home services, transportation, and equipment for those who can't afford it. But Rothman says just having the basics isn't enough.
I think up to this point, a lot of them were living at home and really isolated there, either by transportation or fear of what the community was going to think of them when they came out.
That isolation can lead to depression. So Rothman began looking around for popular activities that could be made accessible to people in wheelchairs. She raised money for 10 athletic chairs, and the Mustangs wheelchair basketball team was born. Earlier this month, they made their debut at a high school basketball game in Kayenta, near the Utah border. At halftime, in front of more than 2,000 fans, the team rolled onto the court. They passed the ball back and forth and hoisted up a shot. After about 5 minutes of swishes and air balls, Gleave Isaac sat in his chair, still buzzing with excitement.
With all the cheering, with all the support from the audience, the good turnout out, all of my nerves and my butterfly just went away. It was fantastic. I love it. I'm sure they're already looking forward to seeing us again out there someday in court.
Isaac's also encouraged by off-the-court developments. He and his teammates now attend monthly support group meetings. Groups have gone swimming, downhill skiing, and whitewater rafting. And Michael Blatchford, who directs the reservation's only independent living center for people with disabilities, is pushing the Navajo Nation to make buildings more accessible. He says tribal governments are slowly growing more sensitive to disabilities.
But I'm hoping 5, 10, 20 years down the road, it will be accessible where people don't have to pick and choose where they go. They don't have to say, oh, I can only go here because the doors are wide enough, and that's the only place I can eat because the tables are high enough.
And when that's done, Blatchford says he'd like to get rid of the labels. Instead of being known as a paraplegic or that guy in the wheelchair, he wants to be known simply as Michael Blatchford. For Day to Day, I'm Daniel Crocker.